I love the resurrection stories because I think Jesus has such a sense of humor. The number of times he just appears in a locked room and just surprises people that he's there. I just love them. So today, we're going to be exploring that first element of our new intentional discipleship series together, which is Scripture. Now, Scripture, we're going to get into that word in a moment, but just think Bible. Okay, that's a simple way of doing it. I'm a self-proclaimed Bible nerd, so I'm really glad I got given this one. I did 5 years studying it in a degree, so I feel like I'm in a good place to share this with you. But I've got a question for you. How many different types of books can you name? So let me clarify, that's not like novel, horror, things like that. I'm thinking like cookbook, storybook, picture book, like the different types of books. How many can you think? I'll give you a moment just to have a think or a chat around. How many can you name? Has anybody got more than two hands yet? Oh, we got to 10 over here. 10 over here. It's a good number. Right, I'm going to give you 20 more seconds. Come on, use your brains. You got it. Okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hold there. Right, I'm going to ask, just put your hand up, give me a shout out, what ones you thought of? Just like give me one at a time. Anybody want to share one? Anna? Encyclopedia, yes. Poetry book, that's a good one, yes, Phoebe. Anybody else? Pop-up book, yes. A sticker book. Oh, I hadn't thought of sticker book. That's a really good one. I love that. Sticker book. Audio book. Oh, Mike's on it. Here we go. Yes. Braille. Oh, you're defeating me. Brilliant. One more, Jacob. Comic book. Brilliant. I've thought of a few. I got picture book, story book, comic book, biography, textbook, cookbook, travel guides, manuals, pop-up books, art books, reference books. There's lots and lots and lots and lots of different types of books. These are all physical forms, but as Mike said, there are audiobooks, there are words that you can read, there are pictures that you can see, and there are things that you can create from the books. There's lots and lots of different types of books. But my second question is, what is your favourite book? Now, if you were at our Christingle, you've had a head start on this question because you've heard it before. But just a moment, what is your favourite book? You got 20 seconds. 20 seconds. Okay. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's draw it to a close. Carl, you've got a favourite book. Tractor Ted. I thought it was that. I just thought A Tractor Called Ted sounds cool. Tractor Ted, that sounds like a great book. Phoebe? Lord of the Rings. Yes, Phoebe. I love that one. Great. Anybody else? Yeah. Chronicles of Narnia. It's one of my New Year's resolutions to read all of those books this year. Jacob? Dogman? No, cool. Yes. I've seen it in Sainsbury's, actually. Yes. Phoebe? Sticker book. That's great. I need to get myself a sticker book now. I feel like I'm missing out. Right. Yes, Billy at the back. Louder. I want my hat back. Who's got your hat? I've got one at the front you can have. Great. I want my hat back. These sound like really great books. Especially I Want My Hat Back. I'm really intrigued by that title. That's one of those ones you see it on the shelf and it's like, I can't quite get that one, but I will read it. But for the majority of us, and I think everybody here apart from the sticker books, were storybooks. Books that tell a story. But I have an argument for that, that I think every book tells a story, okay? In a storybook, we get the narrative arc of what's happening and how somebody finds their missing hat. In a cookbook, we have a narrative of how we get from, I don't know, some raw chicken and some peppers into a lovely risotto. An IKEA flat pack assembly guide tells us how we get just seemingly boring bits of wood and things that are together that come and be built into the thing that they were designed to be. Now, I just have to ask, is anybody's favourite book an IKEA flatback assembly guide? Yes, Matthew. Okay, there'll be a test on that at the end of the internship. We'll see. I argue that stories unfold in everything that we see. And I'm going to bring some of my degree to you now. Two of my favourite theologians, David Sinos and Ivy Beckwith, they say that human beings are all a storied people. We're all made up of stories. The characters we meet, the places we have been, the things we have done and said and seen, they all add up to the story of our lives. And we are all part of each other's story. So give yourselves a wave to everybody whose characters in your story. Just wave around. Hello. Welcome to the story. There is one story that has literally changed the world. A story that is described as the greatest story ever told and that ever will be told. Some of you will have it in your hands right now. It's this. It doesn't even need a name on the cover. It is that famous. The Bible. Okay? The Bible. God's holy scriptures. Now, let's just get one thing clear. The Bible is a bit of an interesting word. In English, we have Bible. In Greek, it is Biblia, and the literal translation of that is books. So I can describe it to you as this. The Bible is a book of books. There's lots of books inside of it. When Jack and Ruth and I were talking about this service, Ruth was like, well, in French, this is where I hope I remember it, library is called bibliothèque, and in Spanish, biblioteca. And I would argue that a better way to describe the Bible would be more of a library of scripture. Because the Bible contains 66 books, all of which share the huge overarching story of God and people and people and God from the beginning of the world in Genesis to the end. Now, when I say story, I just want to clear up, it is a true story, okay? It's not a pretend story that we've made up. The Bible is a true story that tells us something amazing of what God has done in our world. And if we want to live our lives with God well, we need to get to know him, and the best way that we can get to know God is by reading our Bible, God's holy scripture. Now, I think the Road to Emmaus is one of the best passages that we could use to describe how the Bible is used and how we can get to know God. So thank you, Mike, for that. Because the Road to Emmaus shows two followers of Jesus. Jesus has just died and risen, but these followers hadn't quite understood what's been going on. So these two followers are leaving Jerusalem, going to Emmaus, and a mysterious stranger appears to them. Now we know this stranger is Jesus, and he keeps himself from revealing who he is to the strangers, which sounds really harsh, but I'm going to make it make sense now, I hope. So the followers of Jesus have met this mysterious stranger. And these followers are telling Jesus all about the stories that have just happened to Jesus. That he died, that he's been buried, and they went to the tomb and the body wasn't there, but they couldn't quite explain how that had happened. The body had gone. Now, at this point, Jesus could have revealed himself and said, guys, look at my hands and my feet. It's me, like he does in some places, but he doesn't. He keeps himself from revealing who he is to his followers. And instead, he tells them a story. And I think that's what Jesus does best. He tells stories. We see them in the parables and we see them in this story here. He tells them the story of the Bible. Well, the Old Testament, because that was their Bible at that time. And finally revealing himself in that familiar symbol of breaking bread and sharing wine. And if Jesus spoke in stories, I think it shows that stories have such a power. Because God could have written the Bible as an encyclopedia, as a textbook, as an instruction manual, saying, this is exactly who I am. This explains exactly who I am. But it doesn't do that. It doesn't say God equals Jesus equals. It does it in a slightly different way. Because I think God doesn't want to just give us the information. Give us exactly who he is. Because there's something really special when we discover something for ourselves. And we discover this through the stories of the Bible, all the way from the Old Testament to the New Testament. We discover God's great power as he parts the Red Sea, as he calms the storm. We come to know God's compassion as he heals the sick and raises the dead. We come to know God's gentleness as he lets the little children come to him, and as he closes the mouths of the hungry lions. We come to know God's creativity as he made the earth, the plants, the animals, and the rainbows. And we come to know God's mercy for us as he died on the cross and rose again for you and for me and for everybody in this world. And every story shows us just how we can live our life, just who God is by how he interacts with people and the people around him. And we also learn from the triumphs and the mistakes of other people. Now, if you want to know one of my biggest arguments why the Bible is true, you tell me why somebody would choose to write down the number of catastrophic mistakes that they have made in the written word to share with other people to say, this was my people. These are all the big mistakes we made, but these are also all the great things that God has done to help us become the people that we are. And as I read the Bible today, I discover new things about God every single time. I remember things that I'd forgotten. And this is strange because the Bible's a 2,000-year-old book. Nothing's changed. Yet every time I read it, I find something new. And this is an encouragement to you all as we begin to think about how we can use the Bible in our own lives, that the Bible never changes. The Bible has been in writing, in action for thousands of years, and those events have never changed. But I'm sure that many of you who've read the Bible multiple times will agree with me that every time you read it, you discover something new. You discover something new about God, about how we can live with God. The Bible hasn't changed, but you have. The Bible is different when we read it as a child, to when we read it as a young adult, to when we read it later in life. We have all had different experiences through our lives, and the Bible never changes, but we do, and the way that we experience the Bible changes. And that's why we need to keep coming back to Scripture, keep coming back to God's Word, to let it encourage us each and every day. So what's now? What's next? How can we use this great story of Scripture, the story of God, in our own lives? I'm just going to give you 10 seconds to think to yourself, how do you use the Bible today? Because it's all going to be different for all of us. Just have a moment to think, how do you use it today? It's different for all of us. There is no prescribed way of how we should read the Bible. There is no prescribed way of the number of chapters or verses or anything that we have to read in a day. But it is important that we do engage with Scripture however we can. For some people, that might be reading a verse, a chapter, or a psalm a day. For others, that might be reading a big chunk when you've got a moment in life when life's busyness has slowed down. But all I'm doing with this sermon really is to show you that the Bible is the best way that we can discover who God is. Because those words on those pages are words breathed out to us from God. God wants us to read these words and discover for ourselves who God is. Now, this whole sermon series that we're doing over the next few months is in no way supposed to burden you and think you're not reading your Bible enough, you're not praying enough. That's not what we're saying with these sermons. What we're saying is these things can really help us in our lives. And just grabbing that Bible any time that you feel that you can help you connect with God in a way that it can be different to any time you have in your life. And when you do read your Bible, I expect you may come across these few themes that Ruth shared with me before we were planning. You may see the themes of, I love you. I forgive you. I am with you. Do not be afraid and come home. Because the Bible isn't a guidebook. It isn't an encyclopedia or a self-help book. It is a library of the most important books in the world. These books are thousands of years old that still speak to us today. They help us to live our life with God and help us to live our lives with each other. And I encourage you, as I come to a close, to just consider how you use the Bible in your life. And is there a way that you could use it either more, if you feel that you want to read the Bible more, or in a better way? There's so many ways you can do that. Through reading the Bible, through listening to the Bible, through engaging with a life group, to engaging with friends from church. There are so many ways you can explore the Bible. And I am sure that your lives will continue to change as you discover more and more of the mystery of God through Scripture. And I'm going to leave you with this final verse from Psalm 119. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light on my path. The Bible is a book that guides our lives, that shows us who God is and how we can love and live with one another. How can you use the Bible in your life today? I wonder. And I'm going to leave you with that as I pray. Father God, we thank you for your word that have been unchanged for 2,000 years. Thank you for the words that are in there that you've breathed out to us so that we can discover who you are and love you and know that you love us by listening to and reading those amazing stories. And Lord, just encourage us to know how we can use the Bible for ourselves in our walk with you each day. Amen. Amen.